I mean, you live longer if you move regularly. We know this, right? In your mind, we know that people who practice active wellness for their mind are going to be healthier than those who don't.
The big question is this. In a world of fake Instagram models and fad diets, how do real people achieve their fitness goals? We are an army of hardworking women changing their lives through fitness and health. Wherever you are at on your journey, we have the answers to how to make working out and eating well a part of your life. Join us in changing the dialogue for women everywhere. Welcome to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast. I'm Kelsey.
Hi, Kelsey. Hi, Lucy. I'm Rachel. And, oh, she's so pretty today.
Just gave her a little spritz.
As are you. I don't want to let Lucy get all the moment in the sun. How are you today?
I'm doing good today. We're recording much earlier than we typically do on this day. And I seem to be better in the morning a little bit, but I just said to Rachel before we started, like, my brain lately has just been, I've literally just been going around being like, is this thing on?
Did I forget to charge this last
Someone
night?
Did forget to charge this?
Is this like low battery?
And I think it's a weird feeling for me specifically right now, because like my brain is usually in such a high, and sometimes I'm like, hello?
Well, I think that first of all, I think anyone with a little brain fog will benefit from today's episode, because we're going to talk about something that is hot right now. And in my like disgusting, cold, like whatever voice that I have going on here, I'm actually, I think I'm kind of biohacking on camera today a little bit, because this is not pee.
Everyone immediately runs to YouTube to see that you're drinking pee.
I am not drinking pee. I'm not an advocate for any of the health benefits that might come from that.
Isn't there someone, I don't want to say the wrong person, but the wilderness guy.
Oh, well, I think that's like survival situation type stuff. I don't think he does that because like
He might. Let me tell you something funny though about Pete. Yesterday at the gym, Fergie came on. I love me some Fergie. I'm not meaning to embarrass you, Fergie, but does anyone remember when Fergie Peter Pants on stage? I didn't know this at all, but one of the coaches, like Fergie came out and I was like, oh, Fergie Ferg. And she was like, she pees her pants on stage all the time. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, yeah, she's done it like 5 or 6 times. And I was like, she peed on stage 5 or 6 times. Like, what do you mean? And she's like, yeah, 100%. She's super confident in this. So I Googled it because I'd never heard of this situation. And as far as I heard from a Google, it happened one time. It was a mistake. Because it was like she was jumping, pull bladder, whatever. But I was like, man, you pee your pants one time and you're forever known as the artist who pees her pants at least every time she gets on stage.
Oh my God.
It's a tough world out there.
Jeez, you can't even jump and have a little accident without at the local CrossFit gym claiming it's like a part of your show.
She said, do me at least 5 or 6 times. And I was like, what? I'm like, I've never heard this. I've got to Google it. And she's like, yeah, it's a whole thing. And I was like, it was like in 2003.
Oh my God, you can't even pee your pants 20 years ago. And have people give you a damn break.
That's the internet right there. Wow. And just like, isn't it amazing how like something happens one time, and then like all of a sudden it's like, I don't know, every time she's performed, she's basically
it's
Peter
who
Pan.
You are. It becomes
your,
like,
your whole
persona.
Personality.
Oh my God. I'm not drinking pee. I'm drinking vitamin C, which I think is a very basic form of biohacking here, because when I'm sick or when I'm getting sick, I try to drink vitamin C. I don't know if it works, but we had a hot topic.
That's how we got to Fergie. I just realized that's how my brain works. Rachel is drinking vitamin C. I'm like, have you heard Fergie pees her pants?
What? Listen, I'm for it.
I know
I'm
you are.
For it.
You've been living this life.
I have for 39. Good, yeah. Well, no, because you weren't born for all those years. But yeah, for 35 years, I've been living this train of thought that you can go on. And I'm still here. I'm still here for it. Thank you for like setting the record straight for Fergie. She deserves it. It was one time. God damn it. Just excited and was jumping. My God. It was one time. All right. So today is sort of an intro into a health topic that, and fitness really, that we've been wanting to deep dive into. But the thing about it is it's, as health and fitness often is, it's one of those things that, is this snake oil? Is this a game changer? Is it a little bit of both? We're going to talk today about biohacking, which we're going to hope to build out. We're going to hope to build out into a little mini series because it's so big. It's so big right now in health and fitness, and there are so many avenues that you can possibly travel down when you get into any one of these. But we're going to talk about the newest research, what biohacking is, and the potential impacts that it could have on your health, fitness, and longevity, because there are some claims out there. People think they're going to live to 180 with some of these tactics.
Honestly, I think when it comes to biohacking, I just want to give like a little overview on this for a second. Like, this is an extremely robust topic, and that's why it's going to be a little mini series, because what I want you to take from this episode is to not get lost in the sauce with all of the biohacking, everything that's going on. Like, do I need to do all of these things? Do I need to do some of these things? Like, what the hell is biohacking? So in this episode, what we hope for you to gain from this is a general knowledge of what biohacking is, how we kind of are going to segment the different ways that you can biohack. And then in future episodes, we'll dive into some of those kind of subcategories of how you might be able to biohack your life. Because essentially, everyone who is listening into this podcast is looking for different ways to maximize their health and wellness. Or you're just here to talk shit with us.
Which is it? Are you here for the Fergie news?
I mean, a little bit of both, because I think that what I find from this podcast is it fuels my soul. The knowledge is great, but you know, sometimes it's just good to like sit with your gals and be like, what's Fergie doing nowadays? But hopefully by the end of this podcast, you'll have a general overview of what biohacking is in general, what some of the subcategories are, and how you might be able to use this in your own life without being overwhelmed by the amount of information out there. And that's kind of where I wanted to start, because I know Rachel and I had been talking about this recently. As you get a lot of information, as you start to dive into some of these topics of how you can maximize your health and wellness, it can become overwhelming, but just remember, like, you're the captain of the ship, and everyone that is in their different niches, everyone who is looking at different ways to maximize their health and wellness, I mean, there's people that are like swearing by sunning their butthole right now. Is there some validity in that? Possibly. But do you need to be sunning your butthole every day? Probably not. we're hoping that we can look into like more from a bird's eye view of some of these different modalities and take from each of them what might be valuable to you without having like the total deep dive in just one of them. Because at the end of the day, they're all valuable. They all have a place.
Everything has a place. And I think that one of the main problems with even getting started in this area is getting lost in the sauce. And that's why we decided to do this episode, to kind of sift through it for you. We got lost in the sauce and then kind of created a path for you guys to get better informed on this, have some options when it comes to things you might want to think about in terms of biohacking, but not be so overwhelmed that you're, you know, bleeding from the eyeballs 4 days into research and like wondering when you're, and then your timer's going off, it's time to sun your butthole again. And you're like, I can't do all of this stuff. So what we want to leave you guys with on this podcast today is we're going to explain the terminology and the meaning behind biohacking. If you haven't heard of it before, we're going to go over some types and examples, and there's a lot, but we're not going to deep dive into any of them. We're just going to present them. And then, you know, and maybe you guys let us know what you want to hear more of when it comes to some of these subcategories. We're going to talk about some of the proponents of biohacking, why they feel they have really unlocked a potential fountain of youth here, because what we are talking about is improving your health, living longer, and living with less disease. So these are big, big claims. And then we're going to talk about some, you know, potential downsides that we see that could present themselves with this movement. Because sometimes you got to ask yourself the question, for me, is this going to do more harm or more good? And it's a really important question to ask yourself when it comes to health and fitness, because there are so many things that we can prioritize, but there are only 24 hours of a day, and your mental health matters. And so
your mental health matters. I'm glad you said that, because I think one of these things that we've really tried to hit home, but I'm going to keep talking to our listeners about it, because as you get more information, and this has specifically happened with nutrition, right? The deeper you get into nutrition and what pesticides are where, and you know, what's harming your body, where is this meat coming from? Where, like, you could get really deep into it. And a lot of times when you're in it, you're like, this is really important and this is valuable information. But is all of this stress surrounding food more harmful for me overall than helpful? Is it more harmful for me to obsess over clean eating? I'm air bunnying, guys, clean eating, and not including anything that's like dirty or bad food. Like, if you're just looking at,
if it's got dirt on it, you should probably wash it off.
You should just wash it off. But like, we're not living in a vacuum. So if we were just looking at like, what is the best way to maximize our health when it comes to nutritious foods? Like, what does your body need? Does it need chocolate? Like, you know what I mean? Like, when you're just like, well, what does it need? But like, we're not living in a vacuum. And if we are obsessing over anything to a point where it is causing a deficiency in our overall life, it's causing a deficiency in our health and wellness. Like, we can't take that part away from health. The fact that like your overall life and your experience on this earth is very important to your health.
Like, let's go. I like opening with that, because I think that that needs to be the backdrop to everything that we're going to say today, because biohacking can get stressful if you let it, because there are so many options and because you're so invested in this thing, you know, called life and wanting to be here as long as you can and wanting to be healthy. So that has to be the backdrop of everything. This has to stay in terms of health, and your mental health matters. And you need to always be weighing it against all of these options for how you can live your healthiest, happiest, longest life. So let's define biohacking for a minute, just for maybe if anybody hasn't heard of it. Just think of it in terms exactly the same as like, you know, the early 90s when we were hacking. We were having like, you know, all, remember all those, you probably don't remember, maybe it was the 80s. It was like all those hacking movies where like these like young teenage kids would be like, I'm getting into the government system right now.
And it would be like those, like the keyboard was like.
and the, like the big monitors that just had green writing. And he's like, I'm in right now, the CIA. So, but it's the same mentality because we're just using it in terms of hacking into your own body. So it's a term that we're using to describe various tips and tricks for enhancing your body's ability to function at peak performance and maybe even extend your lifespan.
For sure. But, you know, this type of practice employs methods from fields of biology, genetics, neuroscience, nutrition, and it's overall looking to enhance physical and mental performance. So improve your health and well-being and achieve a specific health outcome. And I know we talked a lot leading up into this with just being careful and knowing yourself. But I do want to lean in a little bit and realize that we are the drivers of this ship. And it is really important that we disrupt some of the autopilot that we go into on a daily basis to, you know, hack our overall health and wellness. Because I read something the other day that said like the majority of adults live by practices and beliefs that they develop as a child. So your belief system and practices that you develop as a child, what you believe, are you continue as an adult. The majority of people are living by those beliefs. And, you know, when we really sit down and think about it, I mean, it makes sense as you move in, you know, throughout your life and you just develop these ideas about what you believe to be.
But you didn't have a fully functioning
brain. But you have a fully functioning brain. You have new information and the ability to problem solve and process and that you didn't have as a child. So it's really important to kind of look at a lot of those behaviors and to look at a lot of those belief systems and disrupt the type of belief systems that have been put in place. And when it comes to biohacking, I know a lot of people are thinking like, you know, supplementation, light therapy, but when it comes to biohacking, we'll talk about this as we go, but a lot of these are lifestyle changes or disrupting a thought pattern that has been developed over time. And those are really important to disrupt, to hack, and change the trajectory of some of our beliefs based on new information, to tell a story, again, that is more relevant to information that we have now. And to be able to start to disrupt that autopilot that we've developed from childhood.
At first glance, biohacking seemed very interesting to me and exciting because it was like breaking codes, you know, secrets. There's secrets that we can uncover. And it's like hacking into this new information. And that's exciting. But I think what left me with the most desire for more knowledge on this topic was the fact of taking this active role in your health and not feeling as if you were on this ride. You didn't know when it was going to stop and you didn't know who was operating the ride. And all of those things, I mean, for a type A person, obviously, we're always looking for control. And I think this very much appeals to type A's because of the potential of how much of your health you can actually control. But the question really becomes, can you really hack into your own mind and body to control its processes and the potential outcome of those processes? And this really just boils down to, as you said, disrupting previous belief systems. And I think for some of these, you might need to have an open mind. But I think that the easiest way to explain this idea of like controlling your own mind and body and the processes that are happening seemingly on autopilot is just like starting on the most basic framework of when I get stressed, I start breathing really rapidly. That's a stress response from your body. Your body has developed that stress response for a number of reasons, for fight or flight, get more oxygen to the cells to be able to do the thing, whether it's run or whether it you need more going to your brain to be able to think this through, whatever it is. But the thing is that that stress response might not be serving your body in the particular instance that we're experiencing in it now, in this current world. And so thinking that through and saying, if I can disrupt the body's natural process of I get stressed and I breathe like this. Instead, if I can disrupt that, override the system, breathe differently, and have a better outcome for my body, would I want to be interested in that?
Well, that's essentially what biohacking is, right? So like you're disrupting your body's natural response. So biohacking in that sense would be breath work. So sometimes that is where breath work. Sometimes that is just like taking a long, deep breath of breathing in, like a big, deep diaphragm breath, holding it, letting it all out. So all of that is disrupting your body's natural response. So it's changing your response essentially from to a parasympathetic response. So you're saying like, we're going to need to bring this down. We're going to need to calm down. So you're going from fight or flight to rest and digest. Those are two very different things. And if you think about that, just from a biological standpoint of going from fight or flight to rest and digest, it's so easy to understand that we want to stay in rest and digest because that's going to help our body function at a higher level. That's going to improve our health. That's going to improve our digestion, how we are metabolizing food, how we're absorbing food, how our movement is, what our energy looks like on a daily basis. So that from just like a very basic standpoint of just like disrupting, taking yourselves off of autopilot and putting a captain in the ship and saying like, no, I am the captain of the ship. But when it comes that that's, you know, from a biological standpoint, that's something that can disrupt there. But I don't want to overlook the fact that we are going to talk about how in some future episodes as well, but like how some of our thought processes are the same thing. So you have a story, you have, you know, a response that you typically repeat in your mind. Like, I am so stupid because I cheated on a test one time when I was, this is what I'm talking about when it comes to thoughts that you develop as a child. Cheated on this test. I'm really not good at math, but I can't do my taxes, blah, 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 blah. All of these, this thing goes. But when you insert something that disrupts that, say like, that's not now. I have had the ability to do so many other things. I have so many other strengths. You disrupt that, but your thought process is not going to naturally go there. You need to put things in place that disrupts a lot of those thought patterns to change, just like your body, to change your thought process, to change it from the negative mindset that you've continuously developed into a more positive mindset. You have to insert ways that you can see kind of the silver lining. So I just want to talk about that, really, top to bottom. It happens in our minds. We have just the fight or flight response happens in our minds just based on information we've received as a child, the story that we've already had. We have to disrupt that. Some of the responses physically that we have to disrupt those in order to hack into our bodies and like and take control of living our happiest, healthiest lives.
It's exciting. It's also exciting how many areas you can implement this into. It's not limited to just like, I'm going to take some supplements and feel better. Like there are, as Kelsey said, there are unlimited amounts of mental health exercises, physical health exercises, technology comes into this. There are so many ways. And that's why we don't want you to get lost in the sauce, or we don't want this feeling of overwhelm to come up. But we're going to try to tackle these sort of category by category. And we'll look into what might be worth it for you. Because the best thing I think about biohacking is it can be so incredibly individualized because it's literally your biology, not anybody else's. So I just want to go through a couple of types and examples of the categories that biohacking can fall under. But if you think about it, this is really not a new idea. We've known for a long time that there are a few keys to people who live longer and healthier lifestyles. Usually they move.
They almost always move. Regular exercise improves your lifespan from 4 to 6.9 years. And that's a very loose term, like movement. Like we're just talking like movement on a very basic level, like people who walk every day, like people who incorporate movement into their lives, increase their lifespan on average from 4 to 6.9 years.
I mean, you live longer if you move regularly. We know this, right? In your mind, we know that people who practice active wellness for their mind are going to be healthier than those who don't.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the statistic that really blows my mind on that is people who practice meditation are 49% less likely to die of cancer than those who don't. And I've talked about meditation a lot in this podcast because I think that it is a game changer for me, although I don't always make time for it. I know how much clarity it gets me. And I know I've listened to so many different, and I just want to be super authentic with that. Where like, if you're sitting at home and thinking to yourself, like, man, I'm just such a piece of shit because I don't make time for meditation and I don't make time for some of these things, I just want you to like back up for a second and realize that a lot of the people who have the knowledge and say like, this will definitely improve your life are not perfect with it. I just want to like tear down the expectation of perfection with any of those ideas, because perfection is going to kill your progress. It really will. Because if you break yourself down in a way of like, I just don't practice any of these things. I don't practice mindfulness. I'm just like the worst because I don't incorporate it into my life. Yeah, of course I have 5 to 10 minutes. You're not the worst. Telling that over and over isn't helpful for your mindset.
Like, it's actually it's the opposite. Right. Something's always going to be better than nothing on these things. And that's why when we categorized it as movement, that's going to help you live longer. And because these are things like going for a walk every day. These are not world record fitness holder, like the marathon winner lives longer. It doesn't have to be like that. Something's always going to be better than nothing. So, you know, we know movement and mind are huge. We also know connection is huge for people who live longer. I just recently listened to a podcast that stated a stat that men who kiss their wives before leaving for work in the morning live on average 4 years longer than those who don't. Connection is so... Oh, were you listening to Diary of CEO?
Oh, yeah, that's where I was. I was like, where did I hear that? But I did hear it.
They had some relationship experts. It was an excellent episode.
That was the husband and wife, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Connection is so, so important, and it's so key to our length of time on this planet. It honestly matters so much. And obviously nutrition is the fourth pillar there. We know that these four are going to determine how long we're here and how healthy we're going to stay while we're on the planet, because there are instances where we might be here a little bit, but it's not the best quality that we would hope for ourselves. So we know the killers, sedentary lifestyles, shit food, stressed out minds, and lack of connection or purpose. Those are the killers. But how can we biohack these areas that we know are going to improve our life? What these people are talking about is working smarter, not harder, and not taking the mentality of like, I need to quit my job and work on those four areas all 24 hours of the day, and this is going to be my life's purpose. Instead, looking at how we can address these things in a way that fits into a modern lifestyle.
Yeah. I think this idea of work smarter, not harder mentality that biohacking has taken is really important for people to hear when we look at what's the biggest bang for our buck in terms of lifestyle. How quickly can we do it? What are some of the pillars? And I know talked about this in the past where we've decided, like, what are some of the pillars? What do you think you already have covered? This is where I want to say that this can be very specific to you. What are some of the ones that you kind of like already have covered? Do you already have movement covered? Feel comfortable with the amount of movement you get on a daily basis? Awesome. Do you feel comfortable with the type of nutrition that you get, the energy level? And I don't even want to go to energy levels with that yet, because I want to just say, like, do you feel comfortable with the nutrition you typically, you know, ingest on a daily basis? Because then when we look at energy levels, we can look at the exchange of our energy and where we're drawing energy from. And a lot of that comes from different relationships that we have in our lives, in different ways that we are using our energy and our connection, our purpose. Because those are really important for our energy. It's not just the food that we're ingesting, and it's not just the movement that we're getting on a daily basis. It's how our mindset is and how we're viewing life and how we're viewing some of our stressors. Because I don't want to downplay the fact that every person on this planet is going to come up on stressful events in their life. And anytime we talk about something that comes to how we can maximize our, you know, physical well-being, our health, our wellness, it's to be able to handle those situations in a way that is productive for us, that doesn't break us, that becomes more resilient. So some of the things that we're talking about when it comes to practicing some of those, if you think you can't incorporate this because you're in a stressful event, that's a mindset problem. It is. I'm just going to say it for what it is, because like, we're all going through those. And if you're waiting for a perfect time in your life to incorporate something that's important for you, you're going to be waiting a long fucking time, because it never happens. It's only important until when you make it important. So we're going to go over like an overview of some of these categories for biohacking. And the first one is lifestyle, which I know you guys were like, yeah, guys, we know, because lifestyle is obviously probably the most important part in deciding where you can maximize some of these different.
This is also the most accessible too, which so like on a basis of looking at everybody as a whole, probably where you can make immediate biohacks is in your lifestyle, because it's very accessible for everyone. These are just dietary shifts, breath work, meditation, and exercise. Those are going to be your lifestyle biohacks that are going to take you off autopilot and allow you to steer the ship in some way. This can be as simple as I'm going to walk 3 times a week. It can be as complex as I am going to have a full panel done to see where I might have gut issues with certain foods and shift some of the things that I'm eating to maximize my gut health. It can be complex or it can be simple, but they're all changes in this category of biohacking that are going to be based around your lifestyle.
Oh, it's me. We're interrupting this podcast to tell you about the coolest leggings that have ever been on the planet ever. And if you are going to try to crush this new year, you need them. Why are you laughing?
You sounded like that kid. Have you ever had a dream where... Have you ever tried the best leggings and then they are sweatproof?
No, it's so true. Sweatproof, squatproof. They are so freaking comfortable and they have pockets. If you're listening to this podcast and you're not currently wearing our leggings, I gotta tell you, you are missing the boat, sis.
You're missing the boat. And the thing is, most people don't know as they start to get new leggings that not all leggings are created equal. Ooh. And you don't know that your leggings are see-through until you've been wearing them for a month at the gym and someone gets up the courage to tell you that they've been seeing through. Our leggings never see through, completely squat proof, sweat proof, and they stay up while you're working out. So grab a pair for this new year at constantlyvariedgear.com. So these are ones we're going to dive into in a later episode. We're really going to dive into some of those. So we're just going to kind of like lightly brush over the other three. So there's molecular biohacking. So molecular biohacking involves the use of natural and synthetic molecules that can help shift one's biology. So this would these types of adjustments would fall into, like vitamins, supplements, peptides, minerals. These are things that typically you can ingest in order to maximize how your body's performing. Like, and that I know sounds like such a wide range right there, because, you know, a lot of people just went to like, what's my gut health looking like? Like, what's my sleep? Like my melatonin production? Like, there's so many different ways. So I just want to say, like, that is a broad brush, and that's why it needs its own episode. But we're going to dive into some of those things, the good, the bad, and like what might be what you could specifically take and what you might need to just leave.
Yeah. Molecular biohacking is one of the ones that I feel overwhelmed when I start looking at, just simply because, number one, it is so individualized. And number two, there are so many products that are making claims that are so extremely wild that you almost don't know where to start. There's like unlimited amounts of money that you could spend on supplements that claim that they do X, Y, and Z. And you just don't always know which ones are right for your particular body and your individual genetics. And then also, like, based on your environment, those could be different. Like where you live, where you're at in your life, what age you are. It's a constantly shifting biohack. So,
and it's your absorption. So like, it's really important to, when we think about anything that involves supplementation and anything that involves any type of like nutrition or something that we're going to use as a deficiency. Number one, people have to understand what they're actually deficient in. If you start filling in holes that are already full, like, what are we doing? And then when it comes to absorption, we think about some of the supplements that we're hoping to, that we might be deficient in, and we're hoping to supplement them in some type of way. But your body, some of our bodies don't have the ability to absorb some of those. So we're addressing a problem by just adding in some of those supplementations when we really need to address some of the gut health and absorption, because you can keep putting something into your body, but if you're not absorbing, what's the point?
Yeah.
So, it's just kicking it right out. So, you know, not addressing some of those. So that's, I think, you know, if you could just, you know, see where Rachel's coming from, where she says, like, you know, that's one of the ones that really can be overwhelming for me, because it's not as simple as take some B12, you know?
I mean, it B12 might be good for everyone,
you yeah, know? Someone, it'd be great. But when we're thinking about what is your absorption levels, and that's the same thing when it comes to nutrition, when we say, like, for some people, like, you know, you're deficient in, you know, you have some iron deficiencies, you have more, or you need to include more vegetables in your diet. But some people who are not able to physically digest and absorb some of the nutrients that we're putting in, it's like, well, you have to address your gut health first in order to, for your body to absorb those nutrients, or else you're just kind of kicking them in. And that's where people, you know, have a lot of like constipation, a lot of issues where, you know, their gut health takes over, or the gut health is essentially blocking them from absorbing key nutrients. It's complex. You're not going to feel overwhelmed by it, because we got you. We're going to digest it for you we're going to chew the food for you in a way that will just have a general overview for things that you might want to take and what you might want to leave, a lift or drop, if you will.
So our next category is biologics. And this is a category where we're talking about cellular or biological products that are meant to improve or enhance your biology. So these can be ingested, they can be injected, they can be delivered intravenously. The difference between these and supplements is that these are largely like cells, DNA, mRNA. Oh, a common one people might know is Humira. These are commonly used for autoimmune type diseases, and they're getting more and more popular for that. But there are a number of ways in which you can use this subcategory of biohacking, without things like autoimmune disease. There is ways to enhance your current biological functioning through use of stem cells, for example. One of the sort of father founders of biohacking, as he's known, has done a lot of experimenting with injecting his own stem cells and has in extreme claims that this is the way, the key to health and wellness. And so this one's a little bit more complex, certainly a little bit more inaccessible to most of the population, I would say, but also showing a ton of progress and promise when it comes to certain diseases and treatment of certain diseases. So it is an exciting field of biohacking that, you know, we are going to touch upon.
And we are going to touch on some more accessible parts of that, because like, yeah, when you get, you know, when you get into some of these, you know, different, when you kind of deep dive into things like stem cells, yeah, of course, that's, you know, like then we're looking at really maximizing, we're looking at people who are just dialed in, who are really looking to move the needle in a way that they are just, they're all in. But there are different ways in absorption that we can talk about that in our, that are just in our environment that we really haven't covered so far in our podcast. And I think they're really important. And it's hard to kind of talk about environment when we have people living in so many different climates. But I think that's also the exciting part of this, because you can, you know, think about the current climate that you're in and what you're exposed to on a daily basis and what you might be missing from that. And you can just think about that with the where you live in the world. Do you live in a place where it is cold the majority of the year and you don't spend a lot of time outside and you don't have a lot of access to some of the light? We're going to talk about light. We're going to talk about people who are on the other end of the spectrum who have a lot of exposure. What are you kind of missing? Because that's not, you know, necessarily a deficiency for you. So it's really, we're going to cover it in a very, in a way that you are going to be able to take what you need with your current lifestyle, without having to kind of move to a different climate. But also it's really eye-opening for people because you might not realize how much your current climate is impacting your physical, obviously, and mental health, but physically how you are feeling and what you're experiencing in your body on a daily basis.
It's true. And the last sort of category that most biohacking can fall under is technology. So we can be talking as simplistic, I guess not simplistic to people like 50 years ago. They'd be like, wait, you wear a watch and it tells you
your like, HRV?
I mean, are you kidding? But now sort of what we think
actually,
of
they're
as,
like, wait, what's an HRV?
That's true too. So this is what I'm saying. It's this part of biohacking, this field is like, it's insane because now with AI too, the amount that we're learning about the biology of our body is, it's insane what the rates of learning are at this point. And so technology can be as simple as a smartwatch or, you know, a blood sugar monitor. It can be as complex as a hyperbaric chamber. I mean, we are we're talking about in this subcategory, the use of technology and machines and devices to basically gather data about your body, its functioning, and even, you know, with like electromagnetic stimulators and stuff that can actually stimulate more rapid physiological changes, even healing. I mean, we have the technology for this, and it's a huge subset of biohacking right now.
I think just like introducing the idea that you are an active participant in your healing is something that I feel like people need to hear out loud. You are an active participant in your healing, and that is healing mental health, healing trauma, healing physical health. Like there's so much that can be done. And I think one of the qualms that I've had with the health and fitness industry is that when people present some type of pain or some type of injury is that we tell them to stop moving. But that's like literally the worst thing that they could do. And I'm not saying rest is important. I'm saying like there is balance in all of those things, but telling people specifically as they age, when they experience some different types of pain, to stop doing things, to stop doing movement, to stop practicing some of the things that are overall going to make them healthier and be an active participant in their healing is one of the craziest piece of advice, and just taking the power away from people in the idea that they are an active participant in their healing. Not only an active participant, they are the captain. They're the main driver.
I will still say that's my favorite part about all of this is just feeling, you know, I'm a control freak, so I like to feel that power.
Yeah. I did want to say too, with some of the technology pieces, I know a lot of people are thinking back to maybe some of our reviews on some of the technology pieces. And I just want to say that this is definitely specific to this is a take it or leave it situation. Some people are going to benefit from some knowledge that you get from some of these technologies, and some people are not. Some people are listening, like, that's too much information for me. But when it comes to some of those like smartwatches, Whoop or Ring, some of the technologies that give you feedback for how your body is physically performing, you can make adjustments based on that information. But if you get lost in the sauce and it becomes a problem for you where you're obsessing over it, is no longer healthy for you specifically. But that does not mean it's not healthy for, you know, in general population.
I'm remembering this story about a woman we had in the group who was at the starting line for her 10K and was so excited, and her smartwatch wouldn't start. It was like something was malfunctioning in it. And she was so upset by the idea of running this race without this like technology that has really been helping her to feel that she understands her body and her stats. She was so upset by it that she started crying and quit the race midway through. And I always think back
example.
To that.
Example.
We have to understand that your mental health is a piece here. If your smartwatch is taking away the ability to be mindful while you're running, breathe in the fresh air, all the chemical releases, we know runners high and all of these things, like all of those things that day were missed because of the technology was malfunctioning. So, you know, we all have to take a step back and know ourselves when it comes to the use of technology and how we're using this information and where it fits into our mental health.
Yeah. Adversely with that, because you can see where that, you know, went wrong, but you can also use some of the technology when you think about like something like heart rate variability is what I was referencing when I said HRV. And you can tell what your recovery is going to be when, you know, what your HRV score is when you're sleeping. And you can, by having that information, you can make small adjustments to things that you're doing on a daily basis that assist in your recovery that you might not be so in tune to, but you're still driving the ship, right? So the difference there is knowing that like I can use this information to make adjustments that are going to maximize my health. For example, turning, you know, all the blue light down a couple hours before you go to sleep, and you're turning the blue light off on your phone, and or like, you know, having some alarms, putting lavender in your house before, like in the diffuser before, like an hour before you go to sleep. If you do some of those things, if you do some of those hacks, and you see an increase in your HRV, your recovery is better. You take that information and you say, like, I know that I'm going to improve my recovery while I'm sleeping and my sleep performance. If I do X, Y, and Z, I'll use that information. But if it becomes a point where, like, now you're crying, doing a thing that you know is going to be amazing, whether your watch knows it or not, then it becomes negative. So you can see where, you know, it could go in either direction.
Definitely. And that's a know thyself first and foremost. So taking those four categories of lifestyle, molecular, biologics, and technology, we can further break those down into subsets where you can basically biohack anything. You can biohack aging. You can biohack your energy, your diet, your nutrition, your physical health, your brain function. There are unlimited amounts of options when it comes to the area that you want to focus on, and then subsequently the options for how you want to focus on that area, right? If we're going to take brain function for a second, say you want to biohack your brain function. That is area of your life where you see need for improvement. You could do things as simple as a Sudoku every day. You could do things as complex as supplementation. My sexy voice is really getting
wild.
Sexier. It's getting sexier by the minute. There are so many options when it comes to the category that you want to go into and then the possibilities. Red light therapy, cold plunges, freaking microdosing LSD, like for a brain hack. That is a brain hack. Endless amounts of vitamins and supplements. I mean, these are all out there. And it's exciting. It's exciting to think that you can say, like, I want to think about biohacking the aging process for me and how it's happening. And I have possibilities there. That's exciting. But we want to make sure that, you know,
I just want to say you can see people doing this. Like, just think about, like, you know, just like think about, and they don't even know they're biohacking some of them. But
every monk ever.
Every monk ever. The you're looking at, sorry, I've just read a book about monks, but looking at brain health of people, of monks who have practiced a significant amount of meditation and the age that their brain is like 20 years younger. It's not even close. It's wild. They're just caring. They're just caring for their brains all the time. But you can see this with people who, when you look at Jesse Graf's mom, Ginny McCall, is a great example of, like, you're 70, you're out here doing pull-ups. It's just like defying what we have thought in so many generations to what aging specifically looks like, what it looks like physically, what it looks like mentally, and how some people are defying some of this is worth looking into. It's really not just one avenue for each of them, but you can see people who have, maybe they've actively been biohacking. Maybe they stumbled upon it by just making some different lifestyle changes like we've talked about, or have been exposed to different things like, you know, meditation for some of the monks, but they have changed the game in looking at what's happening. What are some of these people done in order to make these adjustments and in order to look at a brain of a 55-year-old monk and say, like, their brain health is of a 27-year-old person. Like, that's wild.
The aging, I don't know if it's the point of my life that I'm at, but I also think some listeners will relate as well. The aging one, certainly, and the energy one, certainly, are very pertinent to me because we have all witnessed in our life the 90-year-old grandma who is so with it and so sharp and so snappy and, like, goes for her walks every day and is just, like, completely defying everything that you think about a 90-year-old. And then we also have all seen the unfortunate nature of a 90-year-old with very little brain function left that has the inability to move independently. And we all have held those up side by side and hoped, right, who we were going to be.
Well, we see that we hope in our genetics. And I'm not saying genetics don't play a part here, but we also have, you know, seen, and I recently watched this, you know, this guy who had, he posted his, I don't want to say 68, 70-year-old self and what he was trending into. And then his 77-year-old, he was jumping onto a box. I want to say it was 40 inches. It ripped jacked, but he saw a trend that he was going in his 60s, right? So adjusted that course and now is an absolute savage. And I'm like, what is, like, we can do this at any time.
That's so exciting.
But it's so, like, never exciting too late. Because mm-hmm. we look at it and we say, like, what are our genetics? What path are we led down right now? And it doesn't have to be what path is chosen for us, because that's not it. What path are we going to choose for ourselves? Because we do have a choice here. And it's going to come in all of these different ways.
It's just so wild and so exciting. And also proof that it's really never too late. When did Ginny start doing ninja? When she was 60?
She was in her 60s and had never done a pull-up in her life. Like she just won a Guinness Book of World Records. A record holder. But she had told some of her story prior to that and said, like, I had never done a pull-up in my life because I grew up with like the typical, you know, that generation, boomers. the boomers growing up, and they did without examples of strong women's strength, something like pull-ups being a goal of theirs. And, you know, she saw her daughter doing all of these like pull-ups and all these physical capabilities. And she said, I want to do that too. And then did her first pull-up at like 70 years old. And it's wild to me because you just change the trajectory of your entire life. You just changed how long in the quality of your life.
That's the thing, is she absolutely changed how long and how she will function while she's on the earth. And just like knowing that that power is there is both overwhelming and exciting. So I just want to give our listeners a little bit of who's who in biohacking in case you want to do any more research into this.
Or even if you do a little research and you want to give us a suggestion of something you want us to definitely cover in one of the episodes, we're down to hear it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So Dave Asprey is pretty much considered by most to be sort of the father of biohacking. Plans to live to 180. So we'll see. His story is very interesting in that he had a late change as well. Not as late as some of the ones we've been referencing, but he was working in Silicon Valley in the computer industry as a hacker and was feeling absolutely miserable, was overweight, was experiencing a massive decrease in energy, so much fatigue and brain fog. This is all self-reported by him, and decided that he was going to do it different. And his book is Smarter, Not Harder, which is the biohack guide to getting the body and mind you want. It's an interesting read. I will say regarding him, he is, he's an interesting person. His mentality around biohacking is largely in the way of get it done the quickest possible with the least resistance. I think that's a really interesting way to go about it. His like view on exercise is like, 5 minutes a day is like all you need. And I think it's interesting if you're interested in this field, he's definitely the one that you want to go seek out some more information from. And regarding the downsides when it comes to this field, a lot of these biohackers have been called pseudoscientists, fake scientists. They have claims that are pretty big and are being disputed, obviously. If you're going to say that by doing X, Y, and Z, I can increase my lifespan by 20 years, you know, somebody's going to say, well, I'm going to look into that. I think that the biggest downside that I see when it comes to biohacking is the potential for snake oil. I think that it's got to be said that this is at some point going to become a huge money-making. It always has been, right?
It always has been. Look at health and wellness, any part of health and wellness, because everyone knows that health is the most important thing that you can't buy. So people want to put a price tag on it and say that you could buy it. When ultimately, when we break down health and wellness, we know that it's not going to be something that you can buy. There might be, and we're going to research some types of different technologies that have been presented that can help impact your overall health and wellness. And we're going to share those with you for sure. So I'm not going to say like you're not going to have anything like that's going to be maybe tangible that you could take from this, like, or go buy or whatever. But ultimately, you know that the lifestyle changes and some of the things that we can do for our mental and physical health are going to be a baseline for anything there that we look to add in addition to some of those. So Yeah, the only that I totally agree with you, seeing, you know, some downside is some of the snake oil things. And I just think that that's important to think about when you think about any type of health and fitness. It's a multi-billion dollar industry that everyone knows has people on their knees looking for the answers to aging, the answers to energy, the answers to a healthy body, a healthy mind. You know, these are the most important things in life, is your health. The industry knows that that has people just waiting for something to buy for it. So we're going to do our best to sift through some of those things and find out what's the most important for you, but also to what I think for a lot of people listening to a podcast or something like that, is that I really don't want people to get overwhelmed by health anxiety. We did an entire episode on it, is a real thing. And sometimes if you're the type of person who gets a lot of information, you develop health anxiety.
Guys,
anxiety is not helping our health.
It's not
so if you're gonna feel anxious about being healthy, we're not doing the thing. So I just want you to be mindful of that. I want you to check yourself about that. I recently talked to someone about this where they were kind of researching some different avenues and thinking like, I feel all of a sudden overwhelmed by this. If you are experiencing that, if you leave this episode and you say, oh, I want to see more into biohacking before they do their next episode, and you start researching, you find yourself going like, whoa, I'm so overwhelmed. Be the fucking pilot. You are the pilot. You need to take a step back. Take a deep breath and check if this is helpful or harmful to you, because that is always the baseline for the questions that I ask myself. Is this helpful or harmful to myself right now? And that comes with a lot of ruminating thoughts. If you find yourself ruminating, if you find yourself repeatedly thinking about, a specific topic, rumination is harmful. Can be very harmful. So if you find yourself ruminating, you have to decide if this is helpful or harmful, and then disrupt. Now you're biohacking. You're going to disrupt that thought process by doing something different.
And look, you just biohacked. So right there. Yeah, I would say certainly for the people who have that feeling that they might get overwhelmed, the best thing that you can do to start is just take those four categories that we talked about, movement, mind, connection, and nutrition, and say, where is my focus area? I can only choose one. I'm going to just start with one. And you can say, you know, I really feel that I've got a lot of things that I want to work on regarding biohacking. But the most pressing is, if that's movement, you can address that right away. If that's nutrition, you can address that right away. If that's mind, you can look into some ways that you can address that. And if it's connection, you can also explore your avenues. We can biohack anything and everything, but we don't need to biohack everything and anything. Okay. So just because we can doesn't mean we need to. So let's just start in one area and say, today I might think about steering the ship in this area because this is what I need the most. I'm in a storm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So guys, let us know what you want to hear specifically for biohacking in the future. It's going to be a little mini series for us. We want to hear from you, and we want to be able to cover the topics that you want to hear from, because really this is all about you. This is all about you. This is your world. You're a main character here. You are always the main character in your own life. Just remember that shit. I'm telling myself that recently. I'm like, I'm the main character here. Main character energy.
Let's
like you,
go.
We women spend a lot of time worrying about everybody else. Like, you are the main character here. So let us know, give us your main character energy, and let us know what you'd like to hear for our upcoming episodes about biohacking, and have an amazing week. We love you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Thick Thighs Save Lives podcast. If you'd like to join our movement, get in our free app, CVG Nation, available in your app store. We have an amazing community of women, coaches to help you with your movements, challenges, and we give away leggings daily in there. Rachel and I are in there every day, so it's a perfect place to get in touch with us. This podcast is made possible by Constantly Varied Gear, so be sure to check out constantlyvariedgear.com. Have an amazing week. Crush your goals.